Hi, this is Pat Gelsinger, CEO of VMware, and you are listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 127. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, welcome back, my friend.
Oh, it's good to be back home.
Yeah, San Francisco was good. It was busy. It was fun. A lot of things were spoken of, but now it's time to relax.
You know, this was the first year that I just decided I'm not going to be fashionable with my shoes and just wear black sneakers the entire time. And it was magical.
Nice.
It really was. It worked great.
So you listened to the podcast preview episode, apparently, when we talked about that. That was one of
my tips. I'd done the gel insoles before, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going full on running shoes this time. Because with Moscone East, I was just playing ping pong between Moscone West and South.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is it's important to be comfortable, man, especially when you're running back, you know, building to building, you know, session in this building, session in that building, and then podcast over here. Yeah, you got to be comfortable. But man, what a week. What a week. My goodness. Announcement after announcement. Acquisition. New CTO. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. Tanzu, Project Pacific, 5G, Carbon Black. And heck, we captured quite a few interviews, man. We captured some of the execs as we usually do. We also captured a bunch of great nerds. Good stuff. So, man, we've got so much to go through. It's almost impossible to decide what we should put on this very first episode. So what do you think, John?
Yeah, no, I mean, going back through all the announcements and all the keynotes, it's hard to decide. Although I have decided that I'm gonna start Pat's 4 a.m. Wake up routine. We caught that. So
yeah, that was good too. Yeah, he shared that. Did that make that on the interview? I don't know I can't remember if he talked about that before we rolled tape.
No. That was in the keynote where he's like, yeah, I get up at 4 o'clock and get on my cycle and I play my Audible book at 1.7x speed. It was a very specific number. I'm like,
oh yeah.
Because I can't handle 2x, but 1.5 is not fast enough to, you know, power read the books. So, no, I'm gonna start living that Pat Gelsinger lifestyle.
I love it. We also had one of our breakout sessions was a live podcast session. We got that recorded. That turned out pretty good, and we're gonna use that as an upcoming episode. Just that conversation. It was the shifting IT landscape and how people fit in. So that actually went better than I thought it would. I thought that we had good feedback from the audience, good back and forth conversation.
No, the scores were good. I mean, my thing on anything taking something that's in a non-live format and moving it live is it was either going to be absolutely horrible or work out great, and it worked out great. So
one of my funny takeaways from that is that I never expected people kept coming up to me saying, wow, that intro and the outro that you do, I thought that was always like pre-recorded, and but it was weird to see you do it live.
We do listen to it every time.
It is funny. Well, heck, all right, listen, John, we've got plenty to get through, so why don't we get this going? Let's start with Michael Dell. We had a conversation with him on day one, and we wanted to get his take on some of the announcements that were released in the day one keynote, and here's what he had to say. Take a listen. All right, well, joining us now on day one VMworld 2019 is Mr. Michael Dell himself. Michael, welcome back to the podcast.
Great to be with you all again.
So it's only day one, pretty exciting, but man, right out the gate, we've already got a great announcement related to Dell. That was fantastic this morning.
Tons of new announcements, and you know, look, I think the innovation engine is on high, and you saw Pat up there talking about build, run, manage, connect, protect, and the expanded portfolio and all the new capabilities with Pivotal and Carbon Black and the integration of Kubernetes into vSphere and really building this enterprise-grade Kubernetes capability and expanding all the things that we can do together. And certainly, you know, Dell EMC continues to rely on VMware heavily and VMware Cloud Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Just a tremendous amount of innovation that's being unleashed across the Dell Technologies family.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the use cases you're hearing from customers for VMC on Dell?
So, look, I think it's clear that customers are embracing on-demand, yet nobody wants to be told where to put their workloads, right? And, you know, if you think about this increasingly distributed computing landscape,
yeah,
from the edge to the public cloud to hybrid clouds, multi-clouds, private clouds, you know, being able to work across that entire landscape. And look, you know, of the 70 million workloads, the vast majority of them are still on premise.
Yeah.
And while there's migration to public clouds, there's still a fair bit of growth in the on-premise workloads. And, you know, I'm a big believer that edge computing is going to boom. And we're already starting to see signs of that. So the ability to have us, right, as VMware and Dell Technologies manage those environments for customers really gives them the best of both worlds. They get the consumption model that they like in the public cloud, but they get the security, privacy, and manageability of a on-premise, you know, environment. And it's a ratable service. It's a consumption service.
Yeah, I saw you can even order it by API. I mean, this is just crazy here that, you know, previously your ordering cycle and all these conversations. And one of the reasons we talked about, you know, the benefits of EMC from the speed of, you know, you click a button and poof, it's there. But we're doing that with ordering, you know, an entire on-premise data center with VMC and Dell. That's some cool stuff.
We're making progress and there's a lot more to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like I think a big push for going to the edge is certainly the tech that's driving that. A lot of the stuff that's happening now is machine learning, artificial intelligence, something that Dell's been investing a lot of research into. And so I think that plays a big part of the core. So what is it about the machine learning and the AI that is so attractive, do you think?
Well, it's really the question of what the heck do we do with all this data, right? because you have this increasingly intelligent world, right, where you have microcontrollers and microprocessors embedded in everything, an increasingly connected world, right? First with Ethernet and Wi-Fi and 4G and now 5G coming around the corner. And so you just have this explosion in data. And so that data really has to come to life, right? And, data has gravity. To the idea that you're going to send all your data to some Borg in the center of the universe, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And particularly when you're going to have real-time interactions, you're going to have a whole new series of applications and capabilities that emerge as these things out there on the edge are talking to each other. And so the distributed computing landscape will be even more distributed. And Kubernetes and software defining the networks and all the things that we're doing are enabling factors for this future world that, you know, we're just at the beginning of building.
Well, and it's great seeing that we're laying the groundwork for the distributed computing and solving those hard infrastructure problems so customers can focus on what's unique to their business and what they're building. You know, they're really going to build the exciting stuff. We're laying down the foundation for them everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I think Rob Mee made a great point in one of the Q&A sessions, which is that really the plot here is that these companies are figuring out that their data and software is really essential to be able to differentiate their business. And it used to be, you know, you could kind of outsource things and, you know, use package applications. But now, you know, if you're trying to be a real company, right, and you're not going to differentiate on the basis of your data using software, you've got a problem on your hands.
You've got to own big code.
You've got a problem on your hands big time. And so more and more companies are figuring that out, and certainly the capabilities that we're bringing together as VMware and Dell Technologies, we think are really well positioned to help our customers go after that.
Oh yeah, and so how big of a role do you think 5G is going to play in this next generation of tech?
You know, I tend to be optimistic, but here I'm sort of like giddy with excitement because the number of connections, the speed of the connections, and what it's going to enable. I mean, if you look at the 4G generation, right, you have like 100 businesses that have been created that are more than, you know, worth more than $1 billion. And, you know, we could rattle off a list of companies that weren't possible with 3G, but we're now are now possible with 4G, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say over the last 10 years. Well, you're going to have, I'm going to say, at least 300 that are created with 5G, and they're not going to be technology companies in the sense that they're creating new technologies. They're creating new business models on top of the 5G technology. You know, just like Airbnb and Uber, you know, were enabled with 4G.
Yeah.
So you're going to see this sort of you know, whether you call it a transformation, whether you call it disruption, whatever you want to call it, the pace of business is accelerating, and 5G is just going to put into kind of hyperdrive this intelligent, connected world that, you know, we're all heading toward even faster.
It's an exciting time to be in IT.
And of course, you know, what that means is enormous amounts of data. And of course, we have this obligation, this responsibility to put all the data to great use to create, you know, better outcomes for humanity.
Yeah, I like that Pat's leading this morning with the, you know, is IT, you know, used for good or evil, often neutral, but what do we need to do to use it for good? That was some great examples.
Yeah, it's like, you know, AI doesn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be bad today or I'm going to be good today. It's what we humans enable it or cause it to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe there are many more people in the world that wake up and say, I'm going to do something good, right, than something bad. But any tool can be used for, you know, for good or bad. And we tend to be scared by new things, right, and fearful of new things. That's as old as being human, right? But, you know, we don't have to fear this stuff, right?
I mean, no need to be a Luddite. No need to smash the machines.
We maybe need to fear it a little bit so that we don't create the dystopian future, right? You know, and I like to say, you know, I like to watch Black Mirror so we know what not to do. You know?
That show does get a little too real sometimes.
That's some freaky stuff. You know, definitely what you don't want to do with technology.
I hear that. John, when you woke up this morning, did you decide to be good or bad?
I decided to be good, Pete.
All right.
Awesome. Let's end on that note. Michael, enjoy the rest of your VMworld, and thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. Yeah. Who knew Michael Dell was a fan of Black Mirror?
You know, everybody watches that show, but to me, it's become a little bit like Silicon Valley. It's a bit too real. Like, I know these people. I know the people working on that. Like, yeah. I'm not comfortable with this.
Right. Good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, John, we also got a great conversation with the other execs. We spoke to Sanjay Poonen. I think we're going to put that one on a future episode that's relevant to what he was talking about. So we'll put that one on the back burner for now. We got plenty of customer conversations that we're also going to be sharing throughout the next couple of episodes. But one of them I wanted to share this week was an update on a previous conversation we had with FedEx, a big vSAN customer. And they're working with one of our guys, David Boone. And so we brought them back on to get an update. Apparently, all the testing, all of the pre-work has been done, and they're full-fledged pounding it out now. And so it was cool to see what they're doing and what they learned. And so with that, take a listen.
All right. Well, joining us now on the podcast for VMworld 2019 are some return guests, Glenn. We had these guys on last year. Our good friend David Boone, who's one of the vSAN experts. He's on the proof of concept team.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been working hard with FedEx on vSAN. And so coming back to the podcast from FedEx is Vijay Venga. Vijay, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here, man. It's been a blast this past year.
Yeah, so I want to get an update. But before we do, how's your week been?
Oh, man, it's this one of the best weeks in the year. We look forward to the HCI meetings, meeting with the product managers and the engineers. It's been awesome.
Very nice, very nice. So you guys were doing a big deployment last year, and I'm assuming that the initial deployment is over, and what's the update?
Well, we were doing the POC where we made Dave sweat hard for us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we went to the POC, and then we started putting stuff in our test environment, and we're putting stuff now in production, and we are, you know, taking forward all the hard work we've done, deploying various platforms, and then we're going into a colo, which is all based on vSAN.
Wow, that was back when David used to earn his money. So,
right. You know, now the paychecks just come in. You know, it's like royalty.
You're getting some residual on all that hard work that you did last year?
Yeah, I need to be on commission with
that. Yeah, exactly. So what's the setup now? What did you guys land on? I know you did a lot of testing. So what were some of the takeaways? And then what actually made it into what you're doing for your deployment?
Yeah, so we were able to do a lot of characterization. Vijay got patterns mapped out for read-write mixes, I/O sizes, all the different categorizations for the different clusters that they were looking at. Two 12-node clusters, but one's from one vendor, one's from another vendor. And comparing the two, I think pretty much were what came out equal. And the main thing, now we've hit the low-lying fruit with the general purpose kind of compute that has been solved. And then Vijay's been working on the other Snowflake applications
to
get each one of those qualified for vSAN.
Yes. So the way we do it, you know, we had always planned for the general purpose computing, but one of the first platforms we put in is VDI, which was great. It just, you know, got in seamless before peak last year, which was a great mileage for us milestone. But this year, with Dave's help and our team, you know, it's a couple of us, myself, Vivian, Todd, we presented this week. We tested various platforms. Oracle Rack was a big one for us. And, you know, that was a major milestone. And then we did some testing with Dave's help on SAS computing.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
right.
That was a big one for us. And then DataStax. I mean, that was, you know, the icing on the cake. So that's a good one.
So with those different workloads, I'm assuming that the architecture design maybe had some maybe different considerations. What did you guys land on?
Or is this just all just policy?
Well, what's nice, yeah, is that there were some policy changes depending on the application, but we were still leveraging the same 12-node cluster design that's their cookie cutter for general purpose as well. You know, with that design, there's some trade-offs to make things fit, but I think overall, it's still viable for every workload so far.
And I imagine that makes it a lot easier from an operations perspective to just have one design that you just stamp all around the world blindly, don't even have to really think about it.
You know, we bow down to operations because they have to support it, wake up in the middle of the night. And so they, we got the message loud and clear. One way to deploy this, DataStax was not how we were doing it traditionally. So that's where, you know, even with Dave's help and his team, we worked hard on this to try and, make sure that we test DataStax on vSAN. And then, you know, DataStax is going to do its own replication, but we wanted to do FTT1. We didn't want to go with the node pinning, so we tried to do FTT1. Primarily to have one deployment model for our operations. Yeah, we have to change the policy, but overall for consumption, you know, all the rest of the operations works just the same.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that was a very long POC. And then, so during that time, and now vSAN has matured a little bit. We've made several changes. Have any of the updates in the latest versions of vSAN maybe played a factor into the way you guys are using it?
Yeah, and you know, some of our applications, you know, like SaaS, there were certain constraints that they were looking for. The number of devices that we could allow, 16 number of SCSI devices, with the multi-writer that you have only 8 nodes that could be shared. So 6.7, update 2, 3, those were, ideal. So we are moving down that path so we can adopt those and switch some of those earlier than others.
Very nice, very nice. So a popular topic this week, obviously, has been VMware Cloud Foundation. Have you guys been experimenting with that as well?
Well, yeah. So, you know, I think all the work that we did on vSAN, we then converted over into adopting VxRail.
Yeah.
You know, because all the firmware and patches and handling that, again, for operations, you know, we wanted to make sure that we make that deployment model easy, consumable. And so we built the vSAN VxRail, but then, you know, we were looking software-defined networking. So NSX was obviously adopted, but all this became even more easier with adopting VCF. So my peers, colleagues worked on the whole VCF model for a while. And so, you know, we have part of operations and architecture working on adopting that. And that's how we're going forward in our colo. So we're working hard on getting that through.
That's fantastic. And I think I heard you just say that you presented on this deployment this week.
Yeah. So Dave Boone, myself, Vivian and Todd, we all presented our vSAN journey. You know, we talked about this exact same thing.
And I love it.
It was great. Yeah.
I mean, love it.
Yeah. When you take a step back, this is kind of crazy, right? I mean, 2 years ago, you guys come to us and say, all right, VMware, put your money where your mouth is. Prove to us that you can actually do it. Dave comes on site and works with you guys. We work through your torture tests, go through all of your various scenarios, and get to the point where you're able to get to that walk stage, right? Out of the crawl into walking, get VDI in there, start testing some of your mission critical applications. And here we are just 2 years down that journey.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at VCF in your colo for fully automated SDDCs.
Yes.
Like it really shows the power of starting down this path. It enables you to just decouple yourself from so many problems that customers just, it's all they do. Sit around and think about how am I going to install this patch? What software am I installing? What firmware should I get?
Yeah. Is it the same across all of my clusters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that execs, you know, the whole vision that they saw that we got driven down and through the architecture team as well, is that we need to keep adding value higher up in the stack. You know, we don't need to be worrying about building and patching, you know, add value where it makes more sense to the business. So going down the VCF model is, you know, is really going to be awesome.
Awesome. Dave, question for you. So I know that you probably learned a bunch on this because it was such a dedicated time that you spent on this environment. Were you able to take any of those lessons that you learned through this whole effort and apply them to some of our other customers?
Oh, absolutely. What FedEx does is pretty much groundbreaking and leading the charge for a lot of the different enterprises. In some ways, you know, they are sticking to best practices, but they're moving at a great pace and tackling challenges that only people at FedEx's scale can tackle.
Yeah.
That level of mass deployments, the automation that needs to be in place so that everything is that cookie cutter approach. You know, I've worked with other global financials and insurance companies and what have you, and even come in sometimes after POCs to check on them, see how they're doing. And when we get to there, most of the times it's like, oh, there was a human error. He forgot MTU 9000 on one out of the 200 hosts that they have.
Nope.
You know, just little things that just cause problems for one area. And then the next thing you know, there's another problem in another cluster. That all of that's going away with automation and especially, you know, VCF. I mean, one of the pain points we hear so much is around the upgrade scenario and managing that VCG matrix, the interoperability matrix. Well, VCF takes care of not only vSAN and vSphere and all the firmware and device drivers needed to get it right for each version you're on of vSphere, but then looks at, you know, NSX and VR Ops and all the other things that come together and make sure that everything is in jive with the versions. It removes a lot of the pain.
Oh yeah, that's critical, man. That's awesome. Yeah. So Dave, Vijay, I'm definitely going to put a link in the show notes of this episode to the session that you had. So I would highly encourage, going to watch it. And I would highly encourage everyone else listening to take a listen, because I think this has been a really cool story, a really interesting story. And I love the fact that it's just evolved from, like Glenn said, show me what you got. Maybe we can make this happen, to, oh wow, this actually is exactly what we need. And hey, now we're actually putting it into practice. To me, that's like, we've come full circle, man. And so really exciting. And I want to thank you guys for coming back on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And more importantly, man, Vijay, go back and give that team a slap on the back. Like, you guys are leading the edge right now, and that, you know, leading the charge for a lot of customers. Like, the rest of the guys down here and gals on this show floor right now, they're following in your footsteps in many ways.
Yeah, it's been a great team effort, great collaboration across the board, you know, between us and our vendors, partners, all of them. So, you know, couldn't have done it without the whole collaboration. So,
love it.
Thank you.
Love it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
What's great here is, you know, seeing the before and after from last year to this year. They went through this detailed methodology, but things always get really real when the rubber hits the road, so to speak. And it's good to see that, you know, everything, you know, materialized that they'd hoped. It's also interesting to see they're looking forward to VMware Cloud.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things that I took away from that, because before they started, they weren't considering VMware Cloud, and they had requirements. They went through it. They tested all the different cluster configurations, and they wanted to make sure they got a certain performance. But as they started to move further, it made a lot more sense to use this with VxRail and with VMware Cloud Foundation. So they got everything they needed out of that combination. I thought that was pretty awesome. Cool to see that go from, as we talked about, you know, start from the planning and the testing to see if it might even work, to, hey, this is what we're doing and now we're pushing forward. I like that.
Yeah, VCF really is the next level there.
Yes, sir. All right, John, last one for this episode is a great conversation we had at the very end of VMworld with our own CEO, Pat Gelsinger. He never disappoints. The guy is pretty amazing. And we're going to leave a little Easter egg on the very end of this episode, so be sure to take a listen to that one. But for now, here's Pat. Enjoy.
All right, joining us on the final day of VMworld 2019, John, is one of our favorite guests, Mr. Pat Gelsinger. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back on Virtually Speaking. This is fun.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, so... wow. Lots of announcements this past week.
I'm excited to announce by the end of the keynote. It's like, does he say anything else?
Exactly. It's like, I don't know, the 12 months we see like a handful of acquisitions. We're seeing major focus on Kubernetes, you know, the open source community. And then we're also hearing a lot about telco 5G. So it seems very calculated. What is the strategy behind all of these changes that are happening at VMware?
Yeah, and I view it, one of my sort of business philosophies has been for a while, this idea, and it's in Profit from the Core, a book by Bain many years ago, that as you're expanding your business, that the degree of complexity is measured by the degree of separation to what you already do. So if you're going to do a new product, how related to it is in technology and channel in a customer base to the one that you're already doing. So we've been just one by one building on what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so every one of our acquisitions, every one of our moves, it's always viewed through, okay, here's where we are, here's where we're going, and what's the next step that we take? And like security. How many people are security people leveraging our platform? You know, how related to what we're already doing in that? And obviously, I think we have a game-changing idea, this idea of intrinsic security, you know, getting rid of all this bespoke crap that complicates people's lives, build it in to the same operational, the same management consoles, you know, and using our unique footprint. So, you know, the security move, very calculated in that step. The telco move. Hey, you know, it leverages essentially every product that we're already doing. We're just not reaching that customer. So it's one degree of separation. It's all the same technologies, all the same support systems, all of those kind of things. It's just a step in the sales reaching a new customer base. So one by one, that's the philosophy. And obviously, as you said, the Kubernetes move, you know, here we are at the infra layer, right? You know, the developer and the DevOps layer is a step above where we are. So it's this nice one degree separation. Now, obviously it's a little bit more complicated than that because it's a set of technologies that we don't have.
Sure.
Right. But it's also a customer that we haven't been reaching. So that one is a little bit more risky in that sense, but you can't, you know, reach to the developer if you don't know the products, and you can't, you know, build the products if you don't have reach to the developer. So that one, I think, but as you've seen this week, you know, we're turning 20,000 VMworld zealots now into prophets, evangelists, spokespeople, leaders into the Kubernetes community. And they're excited about that because, you know, this bridge, as I describe it, this gap between the developer and the operators of infrastructure, it's a big gap, you know, and nobody's been able to ever sort of effectively come across it. And every infra person knows they want to go across that path and help their customers and their businesses accelerate, you know, their software skills, their applications, the business relevance of those capabilities as part of what they're doing every day. So I think it's been a great week, and I'm just a little bit tired. My feet hurt. My throat's a little raspy. My eyes are red, but thrilled to be on Virtually Speaking again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was kind of expecting with all the developer focus, you to, you know, almost pull a full Ballmer and, you know, go out there, start chanting developer or something.
Well, you know, when we were planning the keynote, some people were asking me, did you want to do the monkey imitation? And, you know, the famous speech for Ballmer is just jumping up there, you know, and carrying on. And we talked about it. And, you know, if this was, you know, KubeCon or Spring One, I might have done the imitation.
Okay. So we talk about some of the larger acquisitions and things that get a lot of press, but also some of the smaller ones. What's the strategy for things like Bitfusion and some of our plans in ML?
Yeah. And, you know, Bitfusion is one I'm actually quite excited about in the sense, and, you know, you have to understand this is almost like a religious conversion moment for me, right? Because I'm the x86 guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You know, 30 years of x86. So the idea that we're making GPUs a proper element of the compute hierarchy, if I can frame it that way, where, you know, a GPU workload, great, we'll manage that just sort of like, oh, we can run on the CPU, we can run on the GPU. You know, so I'll say this to me is elevating in the VMware stack and in the enterprise utility of compute resources. Obviously, why are we doing that? The driving application category is AI and machine learning.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, as that becomes a more compelling workload, we're going to see more applications that leverage it in unique ways. So who better than VMware to make those resources, those computing resources, suitable for the most important category of next generation applications? AI, machine learning, we're going to make it more readily available for our customers to be able to optimize, take advantage of it, scale it. We're going to do that on both the cloud side, with what we announced with VMC on AWS. You know, that requires both of us to come together.
Yeah.
Because, hey, we can't schedule if it ain't in the hardware. So we need Amazon to be putting it in the hardware in the network. You know, we need the software layer to support it. So partnering with NVIDIA. And then obviously the Bitfusion capability really augments. And they were just several years ahead of us. You know, to us, it was sort of like, yeah, we could do this ourselves. You know, but it's work. They were years ahead of us. They're excited to join the team. They have good early footprint in a couple of the AI machine learning, also some of the HPC community where they've had some good early wins. So it was a pretty straightforward deal.
Yeah, I like how you said recently that it's always been a good time or a great time to be in technology, but there's never been a more important time to be in technology. Mm-hmm. So I think that aligns with some of this new changing technology like AI and ML. So
yeah, and I think, you know, like I have great respect for some of our political leaders. Not all of them, but many of them. You just, you know, you meet with them. And as I've met with over half of our senators and representatives, right? These are just good people trying to serve their nation well. And, you know, I've met with many in UK and in Germany and Japan. You know, these are people who really, you know, at their core, they're trying to say, hey, I'm trying to be a great public servant.
Yeah.
But here we are, you know, technology, bam, we're changing everything about financial systems, healthcare systems, social relationships. How do they possibly regulate and laws and comprehend the impact that technology is having yesterday, today, and tomorrow, right? When these were, you know, farmers in the Midwest who are now politicians or lawyers in Manhattan, you know, or, you know, you just go down that list. And so when I say the importance, it's really we have to be engaging in this political, social fabric, right, in a way that we never have before. Because we geeks, we always like sort of going into our closet, geeking out, reading PC Magazine and, you know, hey, I turbocharged my machine. You know, I was able to throw in the liquid cooler.
Yeah, liquid cooler my processor. Yeah.
You know, and I had my quad GPUs running and, you know, and I won the gamer competition. You know, hey, you know, we weren't in the social fabric when we were doing that.
Yeah, that was just because it was cool.
Absolutely.
No, we've got to make sure that we bring our expertise so the ethics can get sorted out properly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a much greater responsibility now. And honestly, and a side note here, it's really comforting to see guys like yourself and Michael Dell that are very aware of that and are vocal about it. So it's, you know, because we know how impactful companies like Dell and VMware are to this whole world of technology. So it's great to hear that this is, you know, front of mind or top of mind, if you will. Awesome. So what do you see as one of the bigger challenges for customers these days in 2019 for specifically VMware customers?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I would, you know, the big questions that they're facing, obviously, how do they make software a core competence? You know, it's right the reason Pivotal and Tanzu.
Yeah.
How do they be more secure? Okay, that's why we're doing Carbon Black. There's also the issues of cloud and how do they position themselves in this multi-cloud world, leverage those resources. Okay, so, you know, that's a big move. There's also, I think, a big issue that they have of how do I keep up?
Mm.
Right. You know, how do I have the competency to do that? And in some regards, hey, they're figuring out how to get off vSphere 4. And, you know, it's sort of like, wow, you know, I'm back here and you guys are up there.
We've got, you know, some people with jetpacks and some people still in the caves. So
yeah. And so I think that idea of keeping up, accelerating, and how do we bring them along in a more expeditious fashion? Some of that falls on us. A lot of that falls on our partners,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, we have to enable them to help our customers go faster. And, you know, in some cases, the customer's got to be, you know, taking some risks moving forward. And as I've also said, and the guys in the cube quite like this statement, that I said, if you're not riding the technology wave effectively, you become driftwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And in that sense, and that's a statement for all businesses. You know, that's not just a statement for tech businesses, you know, and, you know, boy, all of a sudden, you know, Airbnb, they own the hotels and they're redefining the hotel category.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. Hey, you know, was a hotel chain a tech company? right? But they need to become one.
Absolutely.
Right?
They are now.
Yeah. Well, now I'm checking into my, you know, Marriott and on, with my phone as my key. So no, it's...
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, wow.
The incumbents are fighting back.
So. Yeah, right. And very much every industry must make software and digital transformation a core element of its competitive differentiation as we're going forward, or they will be driftwood.
Yeah. So final question for you. We have a little soundbite on our podcast at the very beginning of the episode, and I'll play it for you because it is you.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
That is still relevant. Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise. But we're definitely, as things start to change, I want to leave you with a little homework. I'd love to get another soundbite that you think is relevant to this time. Doesn't have to happen today, but I know as things start to change, we still need people to be innovative. Uh-huh. We want to deliver like enterprises. But I'd be curious to think, like, if there was a one Pat Gelsinger soundbite that speaks to the community, I'd love to hear what that would be.
Well, I think I'll take the homework assignment, you know, and I think, the core of it's going to be somewhere in the space of, the software developer aspects of what we're incrementally doing, right? And it truly is enabling every business to write some of their world's best software, right? You know, relevant to their business. And I think that's sort of the nexus of where, quote, that soundbite needs to be. Mm-hmm. And, and obviously that sort of comprehends three things. They need to learn new skills, right? You know, really view software and digital transformation at the center of their business, you know, and need to be able to get good at that. You know, they need to have infrastructure underneath it that can deliver it at scale, right? You know, if I can write a cool piece of software in a week, but it takes me 6 months to get it into production. Thank you very much. I fixed the 10% of the problem, not the 90% of the problem. And then, of course, I need to be able to have increasing confidence that business, that piece of software truly is secure, protecting my brand and my customers, use of it as well. So I think those concepts would be the core of it. But yeah. I'll take my homework assignment seriously because, me and virtually speaking, we're pretty important together.
I appreciate that thought. Thank you. As always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You know, from Bitnami, the best, software catalog out there, and all these cool options for packaging, to Bitfusion, this really low level, cool hardware optimization.
Yeah.
It's just great to see the M&A game at VMware remain solid. A lot of tech companies have gone really off the reservation and gone kind of nuts. But buying these companies and being able to tell a holistic story and as well as drive, organic R&D, Pat is a great leader and it's clear why.
Oh yeah. Between all the acquisitions and all of the movements towards cloud and Project Pacific, which will be in an upcoming episode, lots of very strategic direction moving towards this multi-cloud, but also big emphasis on Kubernetes. Great to get that information from Pat. And hey, can't leave without giving him a little bit of homework, right? So I'm glad that he took that homework in good spirit. We'll see what comes out of that.
You know, I was the only area I was disappointed out of VMware was I was just expecting Pat to come running out on stage and go full Ballmer, Kubernetes, 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 chanting. But I guess you don't want your CEO to go full Ballmer.
No, you never go full Ballmer. Good stuff, John. All right. Well, John, heck, we still have plenty to get through, but we'll save those for other episodes. I'm looking at your video camera and you've got a beautiful baby there to take care of. So I'll let you do that and I will just land this plane. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Michael Dell, Pat Gelsinger, and FedEx. We've got plenty of more VMworld coverage, but until next week, bye for now.
Ah, you're the virtual speaking guy.
See.
Speaking, we're pretty important together.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's do a little sound check here.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
1, 2, 3. If you're from Zeven,
we have a running joke. Like we're always talking about, you know, when we record you, we're like, Pat is like the one person that there's no training needed. He gets right to the right spot at the mic, and
we thought you
money every
radio.
Time. Other folks are afraid of it. Like,
I actually did work in radio when I was at, you know, going to school when I was 16, 17, 18.
You did.
WFMZ, Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I was the DJ. At 2 a.m., 4 a.m., and 6 a.m., giving the weather and local news updates, right, on an easy listening station on Friday and Saturday nights. That was.
Can I get a sample of an old.
Yeah, this is Pat Gelsinger, WFMZ, Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, Pennsylvania. And the weather today will be.
I love it.
There
I love
you
it.
Go.
Enough of this jibber jabber.